Morning, Boker Tov. We're holding Pesachim. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Samach Hey. We left off Samach Dalin, Amid Beis, around 10 lines or so off at the bottom of the page, maybe drop more. We were going through the Seder of the breaking of the Karpen Pesach. We left it by the two dots, Shachat Yisrael, I think we saw that. We left off by the two dots. Let's pick it up from Shachat Yisrael v'Kiyuv L'Kayin. I think we did read that, but let's pick it up. We'll pick it up from there. Shachat Yisrael v'Kiyuv L'Kayin le'sagid lav Yisraelu. Is it dafka kayin? Does the shechita have to be? The shechita have to be dafka. Sorry, a Yisrael. Could it not be a kayin? Answers the Gemara. He goof kamashpon the shechita bizar kshira. That's good for the chiddush of the Mishnah. Not that you have to use Yisrael. Of course, you could use a kayin, but you even allowed to use Yisrael because shechita is kasha bizar. Whereas next words of the Mishnah, v'kiyuv l'kayin, the kayin is kabbalah. Why kamashpon mikabbal v'elch mitzvah kuna? The chiddush is from kabbalah on is the mitzvah of kuna. Nice lechaver. We said he would hand the kli to his friend. Would hand it to his friend. Sounds like they're not doing halacha at all, beregel. They're simply passing it biyad. Is that a riot that halacha biyad is considered halacha? You know, there's four avoidas: shechita, kabbalah, halacha zrika. Is halacha shle beregel called halacha? I mean, halacha shle beregel. Halacha lachar. It seems like halacha without moving the feet called halacha. Mar says no. Didn't move the night port. Maybe he moved his feet just a little bit. Velamai kamashlam. What's the chiddush? Hakamashlam brev amatz melech. The chiddush is that we say brev hadras. Melech is a mile to having more people involved, the better. The more people involved in the mitzvah, the better it is. Each person would take the full kli and then return the empty one. So along the chain, along the human chain, they would pass the full kli to each other and pass back the empty kli. It seems very clearly you're doing first the full kli, then the empty kli. Says Gemara, av if chalai, but not the opposite direction. Why not? You don't pass over mitzvah. So what's passing over mitzvah over here? So Meiri explains that what that means is that the kli that's full, that you're going to do the mitzvah zrika, that's called the mitzvah that's awaiting. Passing back the kli, enachami, is a heksha mitzvah in order to do more karbanas and do future karbanas down the road. But that's more a heksher mitzvah, passing over an imminent mitzvah right now of Zrika for a future mitzvah. That could also be a concept of mavirin al hamitzvah. And therefore saying, first you focus on the full kli, then you focus on the empty bowl in order to not be mavir al mitzvah. Just one or two points on this. So we actually just, in these few lines of Gemara, hit a couple of major concepts. First of all, we had a concept of Revim Hadras Melech, the more the merrier. It's a famous idea. The more people you can get involved in something, the better. This is the idea actually why we make Kiddush, let's say. Or it's different from Hagim. Some people like to make their own Kiddush always. But the concept of having one person be mighty many people is not just a kind of a B'dieved. It's easier. It's actually a Maila. What's the Maila? Revim Hadras Melech. Having one person make a bracha of many people together is a Maila of Revim Hadras Melech. I think we spoke out in the past. Actually, there are some cases where place can discuss whether or not you'd apply Revim Hadras Melech. For example, the mitzvah of Birchas Ilanis. The mitzvah of Birchas Ilanis. There's a mitzvah, a bracha you make on the trees once a year. So we spoke out from a Rodinsky Shlita, who held, he writes this in his Agada, because it's a mitzvah that comes out in Nisan. And since it's a bracha that you make once a year only, that perhaps over there, you should try to get Berev Am How by doing it with a group of people together, but each will make their own bracha. Because a bracha, which you don't get to say so often, each person, there's also chavivas of doing it yourself, and therefore, perhaps there, each person should do it. But theoretically, in general, if it wouldn't be such a mitzvah that's so uncommon, unusual, it's once a year, then it's universally accepted that it's better as a general rule to have a group be yetzer together with one person, as opposed to a person being yetzer by himself, altzbrei vam. Another exception to the klal is, let's say, it's something which we were scared that people aren't going to listen to all the words. For example, a short bracha is very easy, but the whole benching. We used to bench the whole benching. One person didn't just lean in zimun, he read the whole benching, and everyone else just listened and was yetzer. We stopped doing that. Part of the reason is because we don't have enough confidence in the attention span of the people who are listening to Shemei Kaina to listen the whole time. So then again, even though there's a mile of rebbe hadas melech, if you're not going to listen and be yetzer, then of course that's not going to be that's yetzer schar rav seidei. So then we would shy away from the Revam. But in general, there's a big mile or two Revam, whatever, you could have more people involved in the mitzvah. And similarly, if you have a choice to go to two shuls to daven, and one shul is more people, if it doesn't make a difference to you which shul to go to, if there's no other compelling reason to go to one over the other, you go to the shul with more people in order to daven together with the Revam, but Revam Hadras Melech. That's on the Revam. On the Ein Mavir and Alam Mitzvahs, there's an interesting Interesting, Chashuk Chaim, he has two shaylas, two scenarios. We say, you know, Passover mitzvah. He's talking about a case that's very more common probably at Israel. We have more shtiblach, but it's common, not totally uncommon in Adavet. So we actually had, we've had similar type of scenarios in our shul where there's multiple minyanim. Let's just pick on a Shabbos morning. Let's say you have a few minyanim. And one minyan A started earlier. They finished laying already. And Minyan B, they're sitting by Yakum Perkan, let's say, right, beginning of Musaf. And Minyan B is about to start laning, and they want to go and take the Sefer Torah. Minyan B wants to take the Sefer Torah from Minyan A. So when the person from Minyan B comes and takes the Sefer Torah, he has a choice. He can take the Sefer Torah that's sitting in the lap of the Magbiyah, of the one of the Hagba, from the first Minyan, or he can go to the Aron Kodesh. A very interesting scenario. Says Chashuk Chamed, the case is, the Shiloh came about where the person specifically wants to go to the Aron Kodesh. Why? Because his wife is pregnant in the ninth month. So everyone always wonders where this idea comes from. It's a chida. The chida means it's a skula, that a person whose wife's in the ninth month to do psicha, to open up the Aron Kodesh. So this fellow who's coming to get the Sefer Torah does not want to take the Sefer Torah from the Magbiyah sitting down. He wants to go to the Aron Kodesh. Is that a chasaron of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvah? Is that chasaron? Azay, the Shiloh that came in front of Chashuk Chemin. And on the flip side, once we're on the topic, the Shiloh came the other way as well. What if the How fight do you take Imavirin al mitzvahs? If it is Imavirin, what if the people in the first minyan want to keep the Sefer Torah? They want to have Yekum Purkan and those tefillos said while having a Sefer Torah in their midst, out with the person of the Hagbah. They don't want to give it up to the first minyan. What if it's the other way? They want to keep it. They want him to go specifically to the Aron Kodesh. What's the halacha? Shaila A, Shaila B, really in the same Shaila relating to, he's tying into the idea of Ein Mavirin al mitzvahs in Ardaf. Says Rav Zilber Shen Shlita, so he answers that it's a very nice chida, it's a very nice a skula, but a skula doesn't take the place of Ein Mavirin al mitzvahs, and therefore if the first minyan is willing to give up the Sefer Torah, then for sure you should take the Sefer Torah from the person who's sitting holding Hagba, should not pass over that Sefer Torah and go to the Aron Kodesh and take out a new one. That is the psak for if they're willing to give it up. But on the flip side, he says, if they want to keep a Sefer Torah and don't want to give it up, then that's not called Ein Mavirin al mitzvahs. They have every right to want to have a Sefer Torah present with them while they're saying Yekum Purkan. There's an idea behind it. It's not just Tam Punk that they hold this to keep a Sefer Torah because convenience. You don't put it back till right before Kaddish, till right before Shemar Nesrei of Musaf. No. It's kept out on purpose because you're davening about having Banim and Bnei Banim, Tamid Chamim, Aiskim, Torah mitzvahs. That's what you're davening in the Yekum Purkan. You're davening to have Bnei Torah. It makes that we specifically want to have the Sefer Torah out during that tefillah. Is it you need to have that during the tefillah? We have the Sefer Torah during Kiddush HaChodesh once a month when you Shabbos Avarchim. You want the Sefer Torah out for those tefillahs before Musaf. So if they choose to keep it because they want to keep it for the davening, then it's not Mavirin al mitzvahs. They need this Torah for their davening, and the other shul needs the Sefer Torah. So they go to the Aron Kodesh and take out a separate Sefer Torah, and it wouldn't be considered Mavirin al mitzvah. So interesting, the two psakim are, again, number one, if the first minyan is not makbid, they're okay to give to give away the Sefer Torah, then it would be a problem of Ein Mavirin for the second minyan to go and take a new one out of the Aron Kodesh. On the flip side, if the first minyan wants to keep a Sefer Torah, then the second minyan would have to go to the Aron Kodesh to get a new one, and they wouldn't be able to force them to give him the Sefer Torah because the first minyan has every right to keep the Sefer Torah for the davening. In a case where there was no one, the Sefer Torah, I would assume that would be Pasha, as much as the first minion wants to keep the Sefer Torah for that part of davening. If there is no second Sefer Torah and the minion needs it, I would think that that would take precedence to give the Sefer Torah to the second minion in order they can start laning and stick with the Tzibura and not have the Sefer Torah for the tefillah, even though there definitely is such an minion. Okay, one more point on the Gemara that we actually read this Gemara yesterday, not today, but we discussed yesterday's Gemara about the golden kalim, the silver kalim. The Gemara thought that the reason why he's switching is because maybe it's going to be an issue of Malib Kodesh, Reading, the Gemara thought that maybe it's an issue of getting back more expensive, less expensive. Ultimately, Gemara says it's not symmetry. You have rows of gold and rows of silver, just for symmetrical purpose. It looks nicer. It's more aesthetically pleasing when the Kohanim were in rows using the same types of material, gold, silver. But in the Gemara's Havamina, there was a focus on Malam B'Kodesh. So it's very interesting that typically, Malam B'Kodesh is, let's say you had the Megillah, something that was used for one level Kedusha, right? You could only sell it and use it for a higher level Kedusha. You only had to upgrade from mezuzah, let's say, to tefillin, to Sefer Torah. You only allowed to be upgrading in Kedusha, not going down, not downgrading Kedusha. That's typically what we say, Malan B'Kodesh. Over here, we're talking about the Kehanim who are holding different Kalim, and we discussed that maybe for them it would be a consideration of Malam Kodesh V'Loy Meridin. Again, the Murph fell off that Mahalach anyway, but there was a Havmin that were focused on Malam Kodesh V'Meridin, on the person going up a Kedusha, not going down, which is not such a common scenario. There is one famous case, which we do every single day, where we apply the concept of Malam Kodesh V'Meridin on a person, and what's that? That's the Lachan Simit Chavei and Shechon Aruch with regards to putting on Talis and Tefillin. We put on the Talis first, and then we put on tefillin. What's that Malam Kodesh? What? You're not doing anything to the talis or to the tefillin, per se. It's for the person. You're putting on the talis, and then you're putting on tefillin, right, to go up in Kedusha, and not go down in Kedusha. So that's actually a black and white halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And the Bir Halacha actually goes out of his way and explains, Al Ha'adam Kai. It's Malam Kodesh on the person. Al Ha'adam Kai. It's going on the person. Malam Kodesh Vamrid on the person, which again, the Chayyar Bir Halacha is pointing out because it's unique. It's not so common to have Malam Kodesh on the person. Typically, Malam Kodesh, I mean, we should always be Malam Kodesh as people, obviously. But the point is, the concept of being Makbid on Malam Kodesh is typically on Chafetzim, using them for greater Kedusha and higher level, not downgrading them with their usage to lower Kedusha. Here we have an application in Arsagin and the Eastern Havamina, and we have a daily application with Talis Tefillin, where it's Malam Kodesh on that person. Okay. One more point. I'm sorry. Before we go further, one more point. Shechita kasha bazar. Just, we keep referencing, we reference the Mishnah, we reference it on the Gemara again. Not that you have to use a Yisrael avadanat, but a shechita is kasher with a Yisrael. A shechita doesn't have to be the kain. Only for Kabbalah non has to be the kain. So there's just a couple of debates in the Mefarshim. We're not going to spend time on it because we're falling behind, but just a couple of quick debates in the Mefarshim. Number one, is there a maila to a kain? We're saying shechita is kasha bazar. Is there any maila to a kain? There's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Aleph where there seems to be a discussion between Eli and Shmuel, and the Rishash there learns the conversation between Eli and Shmuel in the Navi. The conversation between Eli and Shmuel was exactly about this, where they had argument about who should be doing the Shechita, and the Rishash understands the Machlekes was, yes, it may be Kasher B'Yisrael, but maybe there's still a mile to Kay, and that was the Machlekes, Eli and Shmuel. Ayin Shem the Moran Brachas, Daf Chafalov. There's also a Shtuk Araya that Shechita B'Bailam, Shechita with the Bailam themselves, a mile, so maybe when, even if it's Yisrael, and Shechita is Kasher B'Yisrael, if the Yisrael, the Bailam is doing the Shechita, maybe that is a Maila over the Kain. Not just on that it's Kasher B'Yisrael. It's a Maila over a Kain when it's the Bailam himself. And the last discussion of this is, but it doesn't make a difference if it's Karban Tzibur or Karban Yachid. Do we say by Karban Yachid, we don't care if Shechita is Kasher B'Zar. By Karban Tzibur, maybe we should mock it on a Kain. Or no, even by Karban Tzibur, we're not mocking on the Kain. We know they used to have Gairoles. There's a girl every day for the Tamid who got to do the Shechita. Now, the Chayr, it's interesting. They're doing a girl about who could do the Shechita. Shechita is Kasher Bazar anyway. You don't even need to be a Kayan. So, you could say that's a Shikaraya. That what? You could say it's a Shikaraya that when it comes to Karban Tzibur, we're Makban on a Kayan. And therefore, you're talking to a girl. Which Kayan? Or you could say that no. Lamaisa, the Tamid we know is Chaviv. Tamid was very Chaviv to Karban. Tamid, we just said yesterday, Zivchi. Tamid was a Karban that is fully HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Karban. And therefore, even though it's Kasher Bisrael, they still had a girl because everyone was still pining. All the Kanim still were trying to angle to get that Shechita. And therefore, even though it's Kasher Bazar, even though it's a Shechita of a Karban Tzibur, it's still Kasher with Yisrael, and still the Kanim had a Geirel, so no clear right either. But again, just those three quick points, is it doesn't make a difference if it's Karban Tzibur or Karban Yachid, that a Zar is Kasher to Shechita, number one. Number two, is there a Maila to a Kayim Bechlal in general, or it's Mamash Ayim and a Maila to have a Kayim to the Shechita over Yisrael? And number three, when it's the Bailam, it seems like it's really 2a, when the Bailam himself is doing the Shechita, it would seem that there's, over there, we have rise that there's a Maila to the Yisrael himself doing it, if it's the Bailam. Okay. So, like the Mar Vayter. Kayin Karvim is bad, the Kayin gets close, Karvim Itzam is bad. The Kayin who's close to the Mezbech, he does Rika. Man Tana Pasach was Rika. Who is the Tana that said that Pasach is done with Rika? Will be the option, Mashi points out, the option would be Shvicha. Zrika is like tossing, Shvicha is pouring. Basically, Shvicha has to just be closer by to the Mezbech. Who's the Tana that says that Pesach is Rika? I'm Rav Chizar, Rav Chizar, Titania. Basically, the Eimer, Estamam Tizraik, Al Mezbech, Veschalbim Takti. Pasach says, Legabe Bechar. It says, Esdamam Tizraik al Mizbeach v'schalbim takter. Their blood, plural. You should be zerik al Mizbeach, and their fats, you should be makter. Damai lenemer, doesn't say damai, ela damam. Chalbim lenemer, ela chalbim, doesn't say its fat, rather it says their fat, plural. What's it's coming to include other kabbanas like Bechar. What's coming to include? What are the kabbanas you know typically lumped together with Bechar? Maaser and Pesach. Limed al Bechar Maaser Pesach. This teaches us that the Bechar, the Maaser, the Pesach, shein tu demat damim v'emur l'gam Mizbeach, that they require Matan damim zrika and emurim on the mizbeach. They require the dam and they emurim to go on the mizbeach. Menon the tiny side. How do we know the location for the applying of the dam is the Yisrael Mizbeach. Amar Blazer, I say Zrika, Zrika, Mia, Maila. We learn out Xer Shav, Zrika, Zrika from Maila. Ksivacha as Damam Tizraik. Says over here, as Damam Tizraik, Al Mizbeach. Says you should throw their blood on the Mizbeach. Uksiv Hasam, right? Again, this is the Pasuk by, this is the Pasuk by Bechar. And we're saying the plural Damams, including Bechar and Meiser, Pesach and Meiser. That's for our purposes, Pesach. So it says Lashon of Tizraik over here. How you know it means the Yisrael? Because it says also Tizraik by Ayla. Uchsiv Hasam, Vizarkum, Naran, Akkainam, Vizdame, Amizbeach, Saviv. Ma Ayla, Tuni Yisrael. Just like by Ayla, needs to be the Yisrael. Afasami, Tuni Yisrael. We have the Gzir Shav, Vizarek, Zarek, Zrik, Zrika, from Ayla to Pesach to Bechar, where it says Zrika in both places. And therefore, just like Ayla needs to be on the Yisrael, by the base, so too, the Pesach has to be by the base. Ask the Gemara, 1 second, top of Samachim and Alf. V'ayla guf menolin, you never told me, clear by Ayla, a source that has to be by the Yisayid. You have a Gzir Shava comparing Ayla to Pesach, to Meiser, to Bechar, but you don't have a Pesach by Ayla itself. Says the Gemara, Amakra, El Yisayid Mizbach Ayla. The Pesach says El Yisayid Mizbach Ayla. So Rashi points out, the second Rashi of the page, that actually is, that Pesach is talking about the Chatas Nasi, the Pesach describes the Chatas Nasi being brought on the Mizbeach, it says v'lokachayim and Mizbeach Itzen. It says v'lokachayim and damachatas betzbayi v'nosal karnas Mizbeach a Mizbeach ha'ela ve'el dama yishavech el yisaid Mizbeach ha'ela. That I'm reading Rashi inside. That ve'el yisaid Mizbeach ha'ela is extra. It could have just, the pasuk already said that yivnosal karnas Mizbeach ha'ela. It could have just said ve'es dama yishbeach el yisaid. You said Mizbeach. It could have said havamichta ve'el yisaid Mizbeach. Right? What does it have to say? Mizbeach ha'ela. It's repeating Mizbeach ha'ela to tell me that you say Mizbeach ha'ela, that the carbon ha'ela itself, where's this Rika done? By the Yisayid. So that's the source that the ha'ela, this Rika is done by the Yisayid, and we have Gzeir Shava from ha'ela to this Rika, to the words, we have Gzeir Shava with the words Rika, to this Rika by Bechar, by Meiser, by Pesach, and therefore we know Pesach also has this Rika that goes down to the, that goes by the Yisayid. So again, so we learned the two dinim. We learned that din number one, that there's a din of Zrika by Pesach from the inclusion of Dammam plural by Bechar, and we learned that where the Zrika goes to, namely the Yisayid, from the connection to the Pasuk by Ayla. Okay. Yatzakai Bishmi said the first group leaves, and then the second group comes in, second group leaves, and the third group comes in. Tana, it was taught in a Baisa, he nikris ka atzlanis. This group is called the lazy group, because they're the third group, they're called the lazy group, which is a little bit of a chiddush. Halisagli lavachi. Is it not possible to could you do the kabbalas without them? Meaning, you need to have three groups. Someone's got to go first. Someone's got to go second. Someone's got to go third. Mava Meva, what should they do? Should they have pushed their way in? What should they have done? Presumably, they were menschlich. So why are you calling them the katafanas? Afilachi bayla zruzin avshayo. They should have been there early. Whoever it's first come, first serve, presumably. Whoever's the earliest is the one that gets in. Taka, if everyone came the same time and the one who was third would just waited like a mensch all day, but they were there just as early as everyone else, then anachami, then the chari, I can't see how they'd be called atzlanim. But if it means that the ones that came first were there first, and the ones that came last were they last, so therefore they're considered to an extent outsiders. Because Tanya, like going to the Bais Rabbi Aimer, Yevshalelim blei Baisa, blei Basam, blei Bursi. It's impossible for the world to be without perfume, people that sell perfume, and people that are tanners. Right? We're just pointing out that even though everyone's necessary, the first, second, third group all necessary, the one that came third, it's a little bit of a little bit of, I don't want to say taina, but it's a little bit of a negative on them because they weren't the ones that were first. Similarly, by making comparison, the world needs tanners and the world needs perfume merchants. Well, Asher Misha Amnasei Basam, praiseworthy, fortunate, is the one whose profession is in perfumes. He smells good and he gets to deal with good smelling things all day. And Ayla Misha Amnasei Bursi, and what was the person whose profession is as a tanner? Working hides, working skins, which is a very smelly profession. We had the Mark Ksuvas that discussed that a woman can actually demand she can demand out of a marriage, and she's entitled to Ksuvah because she could say, I thought I could handle a tanner. I can't handle the smell. I can't handle how bad it is. He comes home with such a stench. I can't handle it. Ashrim, V'yevshleim blezorim, the Kavis is a very difficult Gemara. Gets more difficult for lack of a better word, as society, and if evolves is the right word, but as society changes, this Gemara gets more complicated. It's the world is impossible to survive without males and females. Ashrei Misha Banam Zacharim, praiseworthy, fortunate is one whose Banam are Zacharim, whose children are Zacharim. Ayla Misha Banam Zakevis, woe is the one whose children are Nekevis. Obviously, the Gemara presents some clear difficulties. One of the Malachim they say is that a person typically carries much more worry for a daughter than a son. The nature is a person is always more worried worried about his daughter, worried feels more of a need to protect their daughter, they're more worried about the daughters over the sons. So therefore, it's fortunate if people, and the world needs both men, sons and daughters. But fortunate is one who has sons, he's going to have, he has less stress in his life than one who has daughters. Daughters come with more stress. That is a simple pshat that the Velt says. So Sefer wants to say that has nothing to do with, very interesting pshat. Again, this question wasn't just a question that's bothering the Elam in the 21st century. Or the 27th, right? This is a question that's been bothering the Elam for hundreds of years. Chacham Sefer explains that it has to do on a deeper level with Mashpia and Makabel. That we know about Kabbalah, male represents the Mashpia, male represents the Mashpia, male is one that gives off into a relationship in a marriage. The female is more of the Makabel. That's just representative of the Makabel in action. The physical relationship is that way. And in general, that's what each gender represents. It has nothing to do with sons and daughters, says Chacham Sefer. It's a mushel. Has to do with praiseworthy, fortunate ones whose children are mashpia. You have plenty of women for many generations already that are more mashpia on the veld than other men that are not mashpia. It's not a matter of being a man or a woman. It's a matter of being mashpia or being a mekabel, a beautiful pshat from Chacham Sefer, not to a man or woman. This is the guy in Kalio has a pshat. I heard a bederech melitza, a pshat, that bezman hazeh, where gender itself has become more fluid. Asher misha banav zecharim. Banim, of course, banav means children, but banav also can mean sons. Asher misha banav zecharim. Fortunate is the one whose banim are zecharim, who remain zecharim, who don't decide to take their own different identity into their own hands. Is definitely a pshat that wasn't negeya before. Unfortunately, it wasn't a pshat that anyone would have even thought of before the last 20, 30 years. Unfortunately, leilenu, that's a new concept that we have to contend with. Okay, says the Gemara first.
Men
have more mitzvahs,
that's
who says that?
Well, I
can't
remember which one. I'll tell you later. It's a real vart.
That what, men have more mitzvahs?
No, that his sons act like zecharim.
Ah.
That
oh, you're saying that the first one actually say it's not my own little diak. Okay. Okay, Shkaya. You do have already the ideas steeped in Chumash. We'll actually get back to this, ironically enough, in the end of the shiur. The last piece we'll speak on shiur outside is about, really, to Yosef. There was discussion about men behaving. I mean, I'm at Chasper Shalom, not Yosef. So, quoting Rashi Chumash, Yosef was Masal Sabasaray, right? Yosef was a little bit, made himself handsome, made himself pretty. There is the concept Zichr existed in Chazal for many years, but I think to the extent, I guess, that I was referring to now, that's, I don't think that existed, but I'd love to advise her if you could let me know where you saw that piece. That'd be great. But to Leon's answer, Leon's a beautiful pshat, that's actually the explanation we give in what the Lushan, that answer Leon gave, which is men have more mitzvahs. That's the explanation why you have a bracha of Shleis Anaisha, right? That's the most simple pshat in the version, right? You make a bracha that you're not a woman, right? That again, on the face of it, it's fits in line with this Gemara beautifully, on the face of it, that there seems to be some sort of mile of a man over to Keva, but again, that's questionable, it's very bothersome to us, that the concept should really be true. The answer is, there's a mile in the sense of men have more opportunity for mitzvahs. Nashim are naturally closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas men, they have opportunity to do more mitzvahs, and that itself in this world, that is definitely, that's something we're thankful for, that's the reason why you make a bracha, and that could be also the ashrei over here as well. Nice pshat, Shkoyach Leon. Okay, K'masei B'chal, we said, like the ladies to clean the Karm Pesach during the weekday and sweep the Azara. That's the part that we're going to be focused on. So too, they did on Shabbos, Shnei Chachamim, but it was not B'vat Chachamim, this idea of rinsing the Azara. Shnei Bratzaman. Against whose will was it? Which Chachamim were bothered that they rinsed the courtyard, the Azara, on Shabbos? Amar Chizda Shnei Bratzaman Blazer, who was against the consent of Blazer, the Rabban Amar Shvasu, Vein Shvasu Mikdash. It must be Kongar Blazer who held this, or is this the Raisa? Because if it's the Rabbanan, only it's the Rabbanan, and we know we have a Kal Ein Shvasu Mikdash, and with this actually we'll get back to a question Liza you asked yesterday on that Gemara on Shabbos, Kuchav Gimel, about why is it a problem using the stick on Shabbos, Alts Mukta, Ayin Shvas Mikdash. If you remember the question we had yesterday, why was it an issue to use the stick to hold up the animal to flay it? If the whole issue is issue of Mukta, Ayin Shvas Mikdash, keep that in mind. That question, we'll get back to an answer in four or five lines. Says the Marmahi, what's the Machlekes Blazer and the Rabbanon? The Tanya, we learned to the Baisa, Echra Chaylev, one who milks an animal, Vamachabetz, one who milks an animal, one who curdles the milk, Vamagabain, one who presses cheese, Kegregus, the lachas, he's over if he does a shear. Gregus, these are all different lachas, machadarises. You have dash in there, you have baina, okay. Hamachabed, one who sweeps the floor of a house, hamarbets, one who lays the dust. Basically, marbets says you sprinkle water over the floor, they used to have dirt floors. So by sprinkling water, it causes the dust to settle on the floor. Harayt the chalas vash, and one who removes the loaves of honey from the beehive. B'shegeg b'shabbos chayv chatas. Again, if you did a b'shegeg shabbos, it's chayv chatas. This tana holds that these three as well are mamish. Again, cleaning the floor, mechabit, sweeping, marbis. This is what we need. Is mamish chayv chatas. Again, we're saying b'shegeg is chayv chatas. That means it's melacha d'areisa. Shegeg chayv chatas. He's a b'yamtiv like asabayim. It's black and white. If he did a b'mezin yamtiv, he's chayv malchus abayim. Not chayv malchus. Divrei Blazer. So Blazer clearly holds sweeping the floor is mamish a melacha d'areisa. Chamam Taisvei gets involved. We're not going to get spend much time on this. Taisvei bothered. That, what are you talking about? If you're talking about psik ratio, then everyone should be considered it's there. And if it's not psik ratio, why are we saying, well, how's Rebbe Lezer automatically saying that it's a chiyuv chatas? Okay, but let's leave it for now. Taisvei also discusses that the floor of the Mikdash was marble, so why is there why is there a problem with chlal? Usually the problem with sweeping is ashvui gumas, and they point out the main issue. The main issue with sweeping would be you're doing a form of baina by getting rid of any holes, any imperfections by flattening it out. So again, Taisus is bothered. Is it a secretion? Number one, number two, if it's marble floors, lechor shouldn't be a problem of leveling the floor. The floor is already level. Okay, ayin sham in Taisus ver maslul hamachabed says the Gemara further. Divrei Blazer v'chamayim echazeh v'echazeh ein el mishmishus. Chum say that in both cases, only a shvus. So it's very good. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's deraisa. Therefore, shleib as a chamim. According to Rabbanan, it was a only derabbanan. Therefore, interest mikdash, and therefore they'd be found with her. Ravashi Amar, and here's what I was referring to for the answer to the question from yesterday. Ravashi Amar, afil tamer shleib as a chamim. You could say even against the chamim. Why? From Nasi, it's from Nasi. Tanya Nasi. Aimer shvus tsricha tiru shusha and tsricha lay tiru. There's a big aside that we can apply all over when we discuss the idea of shvus interest mikdash. When you need to come on to ancient Mikdash, we tackle come on to it. When you don't need to, you don't come on to it. There's no need to sweep the Azara that day. Whenever Pesach was on Shabbos, and therefore, even though you have a call ancient Mikdash, it wasn't necessary. Ancient Mikdash wasn't necessary, and therefore, it shouldn't have been done. That is Rav Nasan Shita. And that would answer also again the question for yesterday, Liza, you were bothered. What was the problem using the sticks? According to the, again, Rashi seemed to learn some sort of problem of tikkun, of being misak in the sticks, but we said that for the Maran Shabbos, the issue seems to be the issue of mukta. You were bothered, what's the issue of mukta? This would be the answer again, that you could use, if you could use your hand on your friend's shoulder and your friend's hand on your shoulder, better to do that than to rely on the idea of ein shus mikdash. This really gets back to a general question also. We had a few clerics about ein shus mikdash. One debate was the pshat that there was no gzeira of derabbanan in the mikdash b'chlal. It's like a hutra. If it's like a hutra, then lechayra you wouldn't be saying this concept. This is a raya that's not so much a hutra. It's more like a dechuya, right? And therefore, shvus tzricha tiru, shvus shena tzricha leyatiru. It would fit better. Again, you could say they weren't. It's a hutra, but they only matter when it's tzarech. But again, it sounds like it's not so much a hutra, more of a dechuya. Okay, another clue we had is this dafka for kahanim, or is it even who has reason, or is it even for non-kahanim? Ancient Mikdash, another clue we had on the topic. Now, just a quick halach lamaisa on the idea of sweeping. Just bottom line, very very relevant. Lamaisa, you let us sweep the floors. So the Shulchan Aruch brings it's in Simon Shin Lamed Zayin about the issue of sweeping on Shabbos. The Bir Halacha brings that in our houses when we have hard floors, so the combination of indoors and hard floor. That's permissible to sweep at Shabbos because we're not really smoothing anything out. Our floors are hard floors to begin with, and it's inside a house, they're already smooth. We're not smoothing anything out, and therefore it's mutter. Outside on a dirt floor is for sure aser. That's a classic case where you may come to level the ground. And when that's very relevant. It's summertime, let's say, when people eat outdoors, or particularly sukkah's time. Sukkah's time is eating on a dirt floor outside and wants to sweep up. It's a little messy. Problem. You can't do that. On Shabbos Yom Tov, because it's certainly Nistar Abanan, it may lead to Nistar Isa of leveling the floor. Same idea, by the way, of playing ball. The Isser of playing ball on Shabbos comes from playing ball on Shabbos Yom Tov. The Isser actually comes from the Isser to play ball is based on the idea of leveling the ground. And therefore, it would actually make a big difference to play soccer, certainly soccer, or even basketball, to play sports without getting into playing sports on Shabbos, but and what age is appropriate or not appropriate, that's to each his own. But in terms of playing ball on earth, on ground, is much more problematic. It's exactly this idea of sweeping ground, where, as opposed to playing, let's say, on a concrete, on a cement floor, that would certainly have a more lenient, you wouldn't have this issue of potentially smoothing out gumas. But again, the idea of playing ball was already brought down hundreds of years ago in Shulchan Aruch. Now, outside of the house, a hard floor is actually really gets back to that question of boy I just mentioned, but outside the house, hard floor is still a debate, is up for debate. Even though it's hard floor, since it's outside the house, it's not so pashut that sweeping there's mutter, maybe the drabbanan still applies over there. Again, it's typically not so relevant to be sweeping outside patio porches that are hard on Shabbos. It's possible, but it's not so, not so common. But that's it seems to be, it wasn't clear to me if that's gonna be fully mutter or if that's still part of the gzera. Again, outside soft is for sure, soft the earth, soft to earth, dirt is usser. Inside, hard ground, hard floor is mutter. Outside hard floor, which would be most relevant, let's say it's on some sort of patio or porch, seems to be more of a shayla. I have to clarify further to see if I didn't. It seems to me like there's certainly those that are chayshish to say it's still going to be usser, at least midraban. Okay, says more further. Rabbi Daimer Kaisay Mamali, they would fill up a cup of dam from the floor. At the end of the day, they would grab a cup of mixed blood from the floor and do a zrika. Tanya be da'imer kaysay malam adam taruvas for the dam of the taruvas of the mixture of the dam on the floor. Why? In case one of the bloods of one of the kohanim fell on the floor before going on the mizbeach, nimtzeh mechshiri. This last zrika would mechshir it. Amar really said to Rabbi Avalei nice kabel pukli, but never kabbalah. Halach is this is the gemara in Chafei and Zvachim, right? Famous gemara that if you do shechita nishbech adam al ritzpa, if the dam falls directly onto the floor from the animal's neck, it's not kosher. What does help then to go on? Gather the mixed blood in a kli, says Gemara Menayade. How do you know that the blood on the floor was, how do you know that the blood fell on the floor directly from the animal's neck? I mean, how do you know it never had a Kabbalah's kli, that they're dismissing or be just Eitza? How are they dismissing it? Maybe the blood wasn't a kli. Elach Kamari, Shemelin is Kabbalah kli. They didn't mean to say that guaranteed the dam from the floor was never in the kli. Maybe, the same way it didn't go on the Zbeach, maybe it fell on the floor, not from a kli. Amalem, no, Afani Lamarti, Elmas Kabbalah kli. I only said this din because the dam, when the blood was Kabbalah kli, and how many blood that fell on the floor without going to kli, there wouldn't be this din to gather blood off the floor. Menayada, so how do they know that the blood, the dam and efesh from the animal, was on the that's on the floor now was a first accepted in the kli kadam zrizim because they have kadam zrizim therefore they always catch the blood of the dam and nefesh of the animal after shechita in a kli and therefore you can assume with certainty that it was miskabel in a kli before it went to the floor. So if there's reason why didn't anything spill at all, why did it spill on the floor and you're concerned to the extent that one of them spilled without even having a zrika on the mizbeach, well if there's reason maybe they for sure did zrika as well. Agav zrisayo davdi mishtapech, on the contrary, because it's so diligent and they move so fast and it's such a rush, they'll never do a shechita and let the blood fall from the animal's neck to the floor directly without getting any of the dam and nefesh, any of the dam that's kashif zrika into the kli. That won't happen, but in their haste and their quick movement, the dam that was from the dam and nefesh that goes into the kli, for that to spill on the floor and not make the mizbeach, that unfortunately could happen. In fact, Demara, but the dam on the floor includes a mixture of dam and nefesh, which is kosher, that's the lifeblood, which is kosher for zrika, and dam tams is discussion what that is exactly, but it's dam that comes later, which is not kosher for zrika. In fact, Demara, but dam tams is moved by, dam tams is mixed in, so you collect them up from the floor, you have a lot of blood on the floor, which is referred to as the drain blood, and the drain blood is not good enough for zrika, for kosher for zrika, for the carbon. It's Rabbi Yehuda to the Shnas Eulz, and Dam Tamsis is regular blood, as a status of regular blood, like Dam and Efesh, and therefore it would be kosher for zrika. In fact, Gemara Detanya, sorry, said the Gemara first brings a raya. Detanya went to the raya, said Dam Tamsis Bazara. Dam Tamsis is Bazara, not chayiv karis like Dam and Efesh. Dam Tamsis, if one eats it, chalila, it's us iser lav, but not iser of karis like Dam and Efesh. Rabbi Yehuda but karis, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this karis for Dam Tamsis. Rabbi Yehuda the Shnasai gives a status Dam Tamsis that's like Dam and Efesh, and therefore having Dam Tamsis mixed with the blood would not be precluded from being able to be kosher for zrika on the zbech. Says Gemara not so fast. From Rabbi Lazar, might be lini kapara, shein mechaper. Rabbi agrees, even though he's saying Lagabi Isser Karis, Dam Tam says it's Usser, like Dam and Nefesh, he agrees Lagabi Kapara, Dafka Dam and Nefesh is good for Kapara, not Dam Tam says. You back the question. Shinemar, what's the source? Kia Dam Huba Nefesh Chaper, Dam Nefesh Chaper, Dam Shinefesh Yitzabay Mechaper, Dam Shinefesh Yitzabay top of Samachemabes, Dam, which the Nefesh goes out with, won't get a Kapara, Dam, the Nefesh. Dam at the nefesh does not leave the body with one. I got a kapara, so Dam Tamsis is no good for kapara. Even though Rabbi Yehuda gives status, Dam Tamsis the gabi of karis, it doesn't have status the gabi kapara. See, back to question on the ground. There's certainly after you shech the animal, you get the dam and nefesh in the kli, and then tons of dam Tamsis spills out onto the floor. So when you're scooping up dam at the end of the day, aren't you scooping up a mixture of dam and nefesh with a majority, presumably, of dam Tamsis? How is that good for Zrik anyway? And we do tamei the amar ain't dam vata dam. We point this out when we read the Mishnah right away. This is we read the Shita ain't dam vata dam. Read the Shita is that when you have dam together with other dam that gets mixed together, it's not going to be butto. He holds that you don't say min b'minai heals, min b'minai is not batal, it's not bittal by min in the same minai, and therefore, you're right, you have dam tamsis here, but you also have dam anefesh, and the dam tamsis is not mevatal dam anefesh, and therefore when I do a zrika from the scoop of blood on the ground, and I'm presuming that blood has all the types of bloods mixed together, all the liquids connected, all the dam connected, we'll see that was actually flowing blood in the azar, we'll see in the next line, the next lines of the Gemara, so you take a cup full of dam, you're bound to have some blood for every carbon, and even though you may have a majority of dam tamsis there, doesn't zamavatul the dam and nefesh, and you do a zrika, and you have a little bit of dam and nefesh from all the kabbanas, and that'll make sure that every carbon had a little zrika and was kosher. Elsewhere, I think if I remember correctly, it could be the first speak over here, but I didn't see it. But elsewhere, they discuss about there not being a shear. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet has to be that there's no shear for the zrika, because if there's a shear, then how can you be sure that you have a shear of dam from each carbon? It's one thing to have some blood from each carbon, but a shear of dam from each carbon, if I remember correctly, there's a discussion elsewhere in Zvachim. By this discussion of Rabbi Yehuda of Ein Dam Vatam I think it's of Ayin Chesed Zvachim, but over there, if I remember correctly, there's a discussion about whether or not there's a kapeda of having a shear of dam. Okay, Tanya, Amar Midul Chamim, Rida says the Chamim Arayit himself. According to you, that you're not collecting the dam from the floor to do a zrika at the end of the day. According to me, it's great. They stuff up the holes, the drain, so to speak, the holes on the floor of the Azara, on the wall of the Azara, that the blood shouldn't drain out, rather it should gather. Why? According to me, it's great in order to scoop up a cup of dam in order to do zrika at the end of the day. But according to you, what are you doing it for? Lam paikin as a zara. Amr lechem, say back. Shvachu l'vnei Aaron, sheyechu arakuf v'seyem b'dam. It's a shvach, it's a praise for the b'nei Aaron that they were so busy with kabbarnas, doing so many thousands of kabbarnas, like you pointed out yesterday, one cheshbon, there's 1.2 million Karban Pesachs were being done. There's so many Karban Pesachs were being done. It's a shvach them that they were up to their knees in blood. That's how chaviv the Avaida of the Mikdash was to the Bin Aaron. Actually, I saw a beautiful, I brought down a beautiful Yalkut Shemaini that when Esav was negotiating with Yaakov for the Bechaira, right, for the Lechem, is it Adashim? So one of the times Esav giving up the Bechaira was also by giving up the Avaida. It wasn't Stam giving up Bechaira. Back then, Avaida was by Bechaira, not by Kanim. So Esav was giving up the Avaida. So the Lashon, the Yalkut Shemaini is that Esav, it's a question of which blood he hated, blood of Mila, giving up the blood of Mila, or giving up the blood of Kachim, the blood of Kachim. And the Mefarshim point out, it's an amazing irony, that Esav was Ish Sada, he was a murderer, he was okay with the blood of people, he was okay with going to the field, and blood in a non-sacred fashion, that way he was fine with. But when it came to the blood of Kachim, all of a sudden he was disgusted. He said, it's the lashon of the Yalkut Shemaini is that Esav, he says, I hate blood anyway, I hate blood, and therefore he's happy to sell the Bechira to Yaakov because he hates blood. Here we have exactly opposite, that the Kahanim, who took the place of Esav, who took the place of the Bechar, who took the place of doing the Avaida, and they're up to their knees in blood, and it's a shvach for them that they're so chav for the Avaida to be up to their knees in blood, and that's why they stuffed up the hole. In fact, Gemara, but that's a problem. For Kachayetz, the floor of the Azara would be a chatzitza now. We know the Kahanim go barefoot, and they're supposed to have their feet on the floor of the Azara. L'chayra, isn't there an issue about the blood being chatzitza? Says Gemara, big Yisayid, there's a very relevant Yisayid, Alach Lamaisa, very relevant, Lachu Veinachaitz. Something which is wet is not a chatzitza. When something is crusty and dry, so then that could be a chatzitza. When something is crusty and dry, it's a chatzitza. If it's wet, it's not a chatzitza. Very well, let's say an isha goes to the mikveh, right? I mean, men go to the mikveh too, but our mikveh is not really deraisa because we're tummy mace anyway. But nashu going to the mikveh, if it's something moist on their body, it won't be a chatzitza if it's mamish wet. However, if it's dry and crusty, that can be more problem. Ketanya hadam vadei v'chelav v'chalav v'advash. The lach is blood, ink, milk, honey. Yiveshim chatzitza. When they're dry, they're a chatzitza. Lach and chatzitza. But when they're moist, they're talking about a chatzitza. In fact, Gemara still fakam esavi manayu. But their clothing becomes stained. The time lintar baisa begadav mitutashtem the avad. If a kain's begadav were dirty and he did avaida, avaida subsul, avaida is puzzle. It's not a proper way to do avaida in front of the melech. So aren't they? If the clothing are dirty, that should be a problem also. Maybe say they lifted up their begadim, they lifted them high, they lifted them up so they'd be higher off the ground. The begadim have to be perfect length, have to be custom fitted perfect length. They shouldn't be raising them higher or lower. Answers the Gemara, you're right. by Leches, this that we said, that there was a credit to the Kayanim, and they did the Avodah knee-deep in blood, was specifically by Leches Evarim the Kevesh, in bringing the Evarim up to the ramp of the Mizbeach. Lav Avodah wasn't a proper Avodah. The rest of the time, they'd make sure to drain the blood, and the blood wouldn't be up to the knees, because otherwise the Kayanim would be dirty, and that'd be a problem. But again, you have to know exactly when they did Shechita, every time they Shechita, there's a little bit of dam on there, you presume that the Kayanim got some dam on them, and they wouldn't pass the Avodah right, I would assume wouldn't pass the Avodah right away, but maybe if seeped in blood, that would be a problem. I'm just saying, and the Chami is only for the Lachas Yavarim that they had the blood up to their knees. You tell me that the Lachas Yavarim doesn't need to have a proper status of a Kayan with his begadim. If the fact that it needs to be a Kayan, that means it's Mamash Avodah. If it's Avodah, it needs to be done properly with proper begadim. So the Lachas Yavarim the Keves. We say, Vikav a Kayan is a Kamas Becha. Talking about the Lachas Yavarim, that bring the Yavarim up to the ramp, that's also an Avodah. Ella, you're right, switch to Avodah. You know what Avodah was done with the knees deep in blood? By Lachas Eitz Maracha, bringing the woods to Maracha to Avodah, that's not Mamish and Avodah. By Lachas Ram Lakevish, Lachas Dam Mia, affecting Marv, I understand. Lamaitse, when the Kayim were carrying the limbs up to the ramp, Lachaira, when they were carrying the limbs up to the ramp, or when they were carrying the Dam, when they came down to the Mizbeach, if the blood was there when they carried the wood up, the blood was presumably there when they carried up the limbs, they carried the blood to the Mizbeach, so then why is it not a problem at that point? You still have to contend with the blood then, says the Gemara, Damaski Adstavi, they walked on platforms, very interesting, they put platforms set up on the floor that apparently weren't a chatzitza. Right? They weren't a chatzitza. They were considered an extension from the floor, and they weren't a chatzitza. So the Kohanim's feet were on the platforms, and that took away the issue of it wasn't a chatzitza, and there wasn't dam on their begadim, the brethren remained clean. And then after they did the halachas evarim, and slash the halachas dam, lemizbeach, to do zrika, they would remove the platforms in order, whenever they need to bring wood up, they'd remove the platforms, and the Kohanim brought the wood up, would go knee deep in dam, and that was a shvach for the Kanim. Last lines in the parak, cases Helam of Shitan, how do they keep the animal hung up and flay the animal? Karvetsias and Murav, they tore it open and removed it in there, they Murav, Nasam Magus, they put it into a bowl of Victirin, and they makter it. Atu, Hu Gufei, have Maktalu, did he burn it himself? Meaning the one who flayed the animal, he was the one that did Akhtara. What's the question? The one who flayed the animal presumably goes back to Yisrael, is no longer Kayan. Flaying the animal didn't have to be done by Kayan. So, Hilachar, but the non Kayan, he can't do the Akhtara. The Gemara says, you're right. Ema, the one who flayed it and took out the murim, put it into a bowl in order for it to be mukta on the mizbeach, not by himself, in order for a kain to take in and be mukta on the mizbeach. Yatzakat Rishayna, the first cat leaves. Tana kalecha vech nice and pischa ba'irai. Every person would put his pesach skin when he was walking home. He would put he would actually take the karm pesach, put it in the skin that he was able to keep the ur, umafshacharev, and swung it behind him. Amravilish tayayis, like the Arab merchants, they would take it home. Rashi says derech seichrim yishmeilim huzeh. They took it home like the derech seichrim yishmeilim, like the yishmeilim seichrim. What? I mean, that's the taya in Shas typically means a Arab merchant. What's unique over here about the Arab merchant? Very interesting. A fellow a yid named Isaac Bernstein has a beautiful connection to the Haggadah and to the story of Pesach. I referenced earlier Yosef. We are the karpas. The karpas is Rabbeinu Menayach. It says we know karpas. We dip the potato or some vegetable in salt water. Typically, we say because it reminds us of the tears of Klal Yisrael b'Avodas Parach in Mitzrayim. Rabbeinu Menayach on Rambam says the reason why we do karpas is a zecher to the mechira of Yosef. It's a zecher to the mechira, the sale of Yosef. A zecher to the mechira of Yosef. What shaychas zecher to the mechira of Yosef? So in the Megillah uses the word chur karpas. Uscheles, chur karpas. What's karpas over there? Karpas means a fancy beged. Rashi and Chumash says, what was the ksenis pasim? It was a karpas. Rashi by ksenis pasim, Yaakov made Yosef ksenis pasim. Rashi says it was a karpas. When the brothers sold Yosef, they tore off his ksenis pasim, they sold him to the Arab merchants. They sold him to Arab merchants, so they were selling him. That was the beginning of our ascension into Mitzrayim. So they were selling him, and they took off his karpas. They took off his fancy beged. So that's the idea of we do karpas. Obviously, karpas we do as a vegetable, but says Rabbeinu Menayach, we're doing karpas as a zecher for the mechira of Yosef, whose karpas, whose concern is pasim, was taking off. That is the connection to karpas, not the salt, the tears in Mitzrayim, but the sale of Yosef to the merchant. So it ties in full circle via that the Klal Yisrael, after they shot the karm pesach, they would take the karm pesach and stick it in the hide and swing it over the shoulder, like Rashi's, like whom? Like the Arab merchants, like the Ishmaelim, which is whom Yosef sold, the Yosef was sold to the Arab merchants. It's a beautiful connection in this whole story with Karpas, with the Ksenis Basim. Have a wonderful day.